Oh, good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Good to have you in the house. Special welcome to all of our guests that are here today. Welcome to New Life. Glad to have you. Our ushers are walking around right now. In case you missed getting a copy of this morning's message notes, they'll get these. Just put up your hand. They'll track you down, give you a copy so you can follow along and write down any of those one-liners or things you want to take away that the Lord's highlighting for you from this morning's message. And pardon me, I'm fighting through a little bit of a cold today. I don't know if it's just in my head or it sounds like that way out there, but I feel totally nasally, like I'm listening to myself on the radio or something, because everything's, you know how that is when you're stuffy. So if I have a fit of sneezing or anything in midstream, that's what's going on with me. But yeah, God is good. I'm actually feeling better. I've gotten prayed for by a bunch of people. In the first service, I'm feeling pretty good, and I haven't taken medicine in a while. You can only go so many rounds of the medicine before you're like, oh man, I feel like not right. Okay, so feeling good right now, feeling better. So this morning, we're kind of in between series. As you saw, we're going to be launching a new series next Sunday. It's going to run for 3 weekends, and it's called Let There Be Light. And today is going to be kind of like a prequel to this series. And really, my heart in what I want to share today is just, it's really simple. It's just this. We need to be reminded, I think. We know it, but we need to have our hearts stirred for this again, that there are hundreds and thousands of people all around us every day in our community that don't know Jesus. And Jesus loves them. And we love them. And we want to reach them. And that's our prayer for this month. That's our prayer for Christmas Eve and the Let There Be Light series. And, of course, not just December, but we just are really committing December as a month of harvest and a month, a month of salvation. This is where we are reaching out to our loved ones, our families, our friends, our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's amazing, but people haven't experienced, there's people around us that haven't experienced the immeasurable goodness of God, the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus, the perfect love of the Father, just his presence. They haven't experienced his presence, or maybe they haven't, didn't know what it was. But I just think about them, and I look across this room, and I see it filled with people who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. That have experienced in a personal way the love of Jesus, the touch of God's Spirit in your life. And you and I are carrying incredibly good news of great joy. And that phrase comes from the title of this morning's message. It comes out of Luke 2:10. It says, "Then the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Say the word all. Say it again, all. That means there's no one beyond the reach. There's no one that this good news isn't for. I mean, people might be like, well, I don't do organized religion, or I don't do this, or I don't do that, or I'm more this or here. Doesn't matter. It's still for all people. Like, what Jesus did is still for each one of us. No matter what our background is, our ethnicity is, no matter what our, different life experiences have been, what Jesus did in coming, dying, rising is for all people. It's the greatest miracle this world's ever seen. So, Father, this morning, as we join our hearts together, as we dive into your word for a few minutes, I pray that you would help us as a people to just simply get recalibrated. Lord, that the joy, the good news of great joy that we're carrying, that the joy of that would just fill our hearts once again, that the Lord, you would help us as a people to be supernaturally natural, Lord, in sharing that with organically with the world around us. And God, we pray that this Christmas season would be unique and special because of what you're doing in it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So again, you have something in your life that is extremely contagious, and it's the testimony of what God has done in you. Every holiday season for the past few years, I noticed that there's stories in the news about a nativity scene in some city somewhere, and people are protesting it being there, and you can't have public expressions of faith that's not right, and there's this argument, separation of church and state, and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And it's like these arguments back and forth about it over and over again. And I don't know, I think about that, and I think on one hand, we could be tempted to get into like debate with people. But here's the thing, what God has done in you, the testimony of God, what God has done is more than a convincing argument. It's more than good theology. It's more than persuasive words. You have an actual testimony, a firsthand report that you've tasted and seen and experienced. And here's what I know. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. You've tasted and you've seen, and no one can take that from you. You can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unknow what you know. And it's not a point of argument. It's not like, well, let me debate that with you. It's like, this is what God has done in my life. And you become like the woman at the well. Come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. Or you become like the blind man. It's like, all I know is this. You're like, you want to talk A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All I know is I was blind. Now I see. I want to tell you about Jesus. And it just comes back to being really simple. And I want to tell you that thing that God has done in you, that living experience you've had with Christ, that is such an incredible story. That's a living story. You're a living letter that's meant to be read by people. When you get tempted to slip into like, argue, you know, whatever, you know, there's the debate about people playing Christmas carols in stores. And I've literally been in a store hearing Christmas carols and heard a customer saying, I can't believe they would do that in the store. And I'm like, man, gosh, they are really upset about, like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But I really don't think that's most of the world. I don't even think that person who's mad about it is really mad about it. I think that if they knew how good God was and they heard a little bit of the story of his goodness, like, it would bless them, all right? So here's the thing. We're doing this series starting next week, Let There Be Light, and the first thing that God said when he created our world was that, let there be light. And that's what happened when God opened up the way for us to be a new creation. He said, let there be light. And the light of Jesus shone into the world. And the people in our community need to know that God loves them and that God is for them. And that there's good news of great joy for all people. And that they were made for God. And that his banner over them is love. And that he has eternal life for them. And I think about lights in the sense, they simply need to have the lights go on, really. And I love all the lights of this season. We put lights up on our house this week. It's Rachel did, I didn't. And the kids. I don't know where I was. She's awesome, though. She's like a virtuous woman. Like, I bought a field. I put up Christmas lights. All the Proverbs 31 stuff. So, cooked awesome stuff. Preached in the church. You know, she's just like this awesome, amazing person that I'm lucky to be married to. And unplanned comments. I didn't say that in the first service, so that's totally off script, all right? No, but I love all the lights of the season. I love the lights Buddy and the team put up this week and in the four. They just look so great. And light's a beautiful thing. But one of the things that lights do is they illuminate what couldn't be seen before. And I think about that in terms of let there be light in this season. Jesus is the light of the world. If you've received him, here's the miracle. Now you are the light of the world. His words, not mine. He said to his disciples, you're the light of the world. And God wants to use you and your story and your experience with the gospel. He wants to use that to illuminate for other people what they couldn't see before. Like what just sounded like religion to them before, now is like this real God who personally cares and loves them. And it's this living story, and it bypasses all the arguments and filters and stuff. It's just like, whoa, that's amazing. Thank you for telling me that. That's what I feel like the Lord really wants to do with the light that we are in our lives. Now, one of my favorite portions of Scripture around the Christmas story is the Luke 2 passage about the shepherds. And we're going to dive into that this morning. On the front cover of your notes, and it talks about a progression that's there. And in this story that we're going to read a chunk of today, we see the progression where first the shepherds heard the message. Secondly, they responded to the message. And third, they shared the message. So they did hear it, and it's so important to hear it, but when they heard it, they acted on it. It was like, wow, this is news that is compelling. It's altering my plans. I can't just continue as I was. I'm going to respond to it. And when they responded to it, it went even deeper, and now they're like, we've got to tell everybody about it. And that's what they did. And it was organic, and it was the kind of thing that you do when you hear something so good and so wonderful that's happening in the community or happening in the world, and you just want to let everybody know about it, like, the Giants won the World Series. I mean, people are running out of their houses freaking out about the World Series, but I mean, something even better has happened. I'm a Giants fan, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying something even better has happened. And I'll come back around to that thought in a minute, but that's the spirit of it. Like, you're just so excited to share this good, amazing thing. Okay. So what we see in the shepherds on the inside cover of your notes is that the light that shined on them became a light that shined through them. The light that shines on us and in us becomes a light that shines through us. This living word that you partake of when you put your faith in Christ becomes this blazing light. Your spirit is lit up with the light of the Lord and becomes something that shines. His light begins to shine through you. So, point number one on the inside cover here, God takes the ordinary and turns it into the extraordinary. He turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. That's the first point. And we're going to see this illustrated in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. Let's go ahead and read that and follow along with me in Luke 2, verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. That word host, it means armies. There was a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, it says they were in the same country, and it talks about that night. And what we're learning about, if we were to backtrack in Luke 2, is that Jesus has just been born. That is what has just happened in Bethlehem, and they're right on the outskirts of it, and they're doing what they always do as shepherds. They're taking care of their sheep. And there doesn't seem to be anything really out of the ordinary for them about that night. They were just going about their business, which meant for them staying in the open fields all night long, just like King David used to do when he was a boy, in those very same fields, actually. Now, it's kind of like, put it this way, the shepherds are working the night shift. There's all kinds of people that go to work when you go to bed and I go to bed, unless you're a night shift person. There's people that are, you know, working in law enforcement, or they're emergency dispatchers or firefighters, or people that work in 24-hour grocery and convenience stores, or doctors and nurses in the ER, or security guards, truckers. There's all these different people in our world that when we go to sleep, you know, they go to work. And I think sometimes we don't realize they're doing that, and we need to be grateful for those people. But these shepherds were kind of like that. They were sort of, you know, doing an important job, but they were also like out of sight, out of mind, but they weren't out of God's sight and they weren't out of God's mind. I think about this night, how these shepherds, my personal opinion, my belief about them is that they must have been a group of guys that had their hearts towards God. They must have known about the prophecies that the Messiah would come to Bethlehem. I believe that they probably understood the spiritual significance of what they were doing there, because, you know, it's recorded that the sheep that were pastured around Bethlehem were actually used for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. They probably knew what they were doing as they reared those sheep and they watched over those flocks. They probably understood. And by the way, Think about that, that the sheep there in Bethlehem were sacrificed in the temple. How significant is it that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is born in Bethlehem? I mean, it's a very interesting parallel. So these guys are there. I personally think they were hoping for the Messiah. And in some ways, the night was a bit unusual. The season, I should say, was unusual because Rome has given this edict that everybody's got to return to their hometown across the whole Roman Empire for a census to be taken. And we know why the census was going to be taken, because they were going to be taxed. So they had to come back to the place where they were born. And so the population of Bethlehem was definitely swollen, and there's a lot of people that had come in. And all this is going on, but aside from that, they were still doing like their ordinary everyday job. It seemed like a pretty normal night for them, a time that was fairly routine. You know, when I think about everybody coming back to Jerusalem, on the surface, it kind of seems like, wow, Rome is in charge. Look, forcing all these people to go far and wide to pay taxes, it seems so oppressive. But you know what? God had already said back in the book of Micah that his son was going to be born in Bethlehem. And he used that thing that man was doing, and he said, I'm going to work in this to do what I promised I would do centuries ago. Like, God's always working his plan in spite of man's plan. Can you say amen? I mean, that's just encouraging. So, again, things seem fairly routine, and then the angel shows up. God shows up. And on the inside cover here, this thought I take away from this. God loves to show up in our everyday routines and break in with his favor and his goodness in our everyday lives. Not just the church times. I love church. I love that we come together and the Lord meets with us in church. Not just in your devotional times. I mean just like in your everyday activities of life. And there's so many places in Scripture that we see God breaking into people's lives and their everyday activities. It's amazing. I think about Rebecca, who is there watering the sheep back in Genesis 24, or Gideon threshing his wheat when the angel of the Lord meets him, or David out tending the sheep when Samuel shows up to anoint the next king, or Saul getting a prophetic word while he's looking for lost donkeys, or Peter meets the Messiah while he's fishing, and Jesus says, hey, I need to speak out of your boat. Come on in here and take me out, make this a platform. And the next thing you know, he's encountering Jesus. Or, you know, Jesus showing up at Matthew's place of business. Or, you know, the woman who goes to get water in Samaria, and she's just doing a chore that's so mundane and such a drag because they didn't have running water. You got to go get it, got to bring it home. Just the mundane, everyday, ordinary routines, and all of a sudden, wham, God shows up. He loves to show up in the everyday stuff that we do. He loves to surprise his people with his presence. He loves to bring suddenly moments in our lives. And this is one of those things. Now, sometimes we start to think like we need to be in really extraordinary circumstances for God to show up. Like it's going to be after I fasted and prayed, or it's going to be when I need a breakthrough, or it's going to be when I'm in some kind of a crisis. And we have these ideas about when God is going to show up. But friends, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Like, he's with us. He loves to show up in our everyday lives. We don't necessarily need to be in a pressing crisis for God to show up or for us to seek God. And by the way, Pete, your loved ones, your friends, people in our community, we don't have to wait for them to be going through something horrible to be open to the gospel. The news is good all by itself without anything bad happening. So it's just like one of these things in our lives where it's important to begin having a little shift in our mindset. Now, in terms of these shepherds and God making the ordinary extraordinary, maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you feel pretty good right now, pretty normal. Life is good. Things are solid. You're ready to decorate and to celebrate and have some good family time and make memories and do all those kinds of things. And all of that's a wonderful part of the Christmas tradition, but what if? Let me give you a what if scenario here. What if this Christmas season is different? I don't mean you don't have fun and make all those memories and all that. What if in the middle of all the fun and all the tradition, God also has a season full of divine appointments for you and for me and for us? What if? What if we're doing our thing and just and you know, taking care of family and all of our schedules, just like the shepherds were watching over their flocks. What if we're watching over our flocks and taking care of business, but in the midst of that, God wants to show up and say, I've got something to talk to you about. I really believe he does. The shepherds were doing what they were supposed to be doing, but there was something more for them, and it was beyond all they could ask or think. And that's the next point in your, under this point number one. God has something more for us in the midst of our everyday routines and responsibilities. If we're open to it, if we just invite him into that and say, Lord, I want to connect with you. I want to meet with you. I want to welcome you and welcome your presence. I want to create space for you in my life. As we'll do that, he's so faithful to meet with us and surprise us. So these shepherds, they're with the sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, an angel standing in front of them. Then the angel starts talking. It's enough to see the angel, the glory shining, all this stuff's going on. They're freaking out. Now, we got to remember, so many of us have an image of an angel. I say angel, and you think, I don't know what you think. I don't know what I think, but I know a lot of the ornaments and things people put on the trees are like some little chubby, cute little thing on a tree blowing a little trumpet or something. And I don't know about you, but if one of those things showed up in the scripture, I wouldn't be afraid. But every time an angel shows up in the Bible, the first thing out of their mouth is always, don't be afraid. Because when they show up, you need to understand, these are battle angels. They are equipped for war. They are coming up girded in armor with swords and all kinds of, I mean, they are scary. They are so good, but they're such bad dudes, you know, they're, or whatever they are, male, female, I don't know. But they show up, and they are ready to throw down. And people are looking at them, and they are afraid. They're not looking at them going, oh, you're so cute. I want to make an ornament after you put it on my tree. They're going, ah, we're going to die. That's what they're thinking when they see angels. So this angel starts speaking to them, and by the time he's done, there's a whole army that this angel is leading, and their praise is splitting the earth and sky and peeling through earth and sky as they thunder, glory to God in the highest. I mean, this is a moment, you guys. This is a very, very powerful thing. This angel tells these humble shepherds something that would change the course of history and humanity forever. The greatest shift of seasons in the history of the planet came in this announcement given by this angel. And aside from Mary and Joseph, the shepherds would be the first ones to hear heaven's birth announcement and then show up to see the child for themselves. Heaven was invading earth that night, and God chose these regular guys who were open, who happened to be awake, to be the first ones to hear about it. Maybe you're like, man, I'm working the night shift. Bummer. Everybody's sleeping and partying and having fun, but here I am working the night shift. Listen, God wants to show up in your life. Don't feel like you've been left out or left behind or left aside. There's moments and places wherever he has you, like he wants to show up in your life in a beautiful way. And he said, this would be good news of great joy for all people. And I don't know if you can get a more concise description of the Great Commission in the Bible. Good news. Everyone say it. Good news. Go to the next slide there. Great joy. All people. That's it. That's the gospel. It's good news of great joy for all people. If you're hearing a message and there's not joy connected to it, I'd like to suggest it's not the gospel. Because the gospel is good news of great joy, and it's for all people. All of us. Not just Christians. I mean, all is means all. So, tells them the Savior's born. But this Savior is not like a deliverer like Samson or like Samuel or Deborah or Barak. This deliverer is the Messiah, Christ, the Lord, i.e. God. He has become a man. Unto you has been born, he told them. The angel told them, for you guys, unto you guys, in that city, in that town right over there, he's been born for you and for humanity. And it's this amazing thing. And rather than the height and the birth and the weight and the time of birth and all the stuff we put on our birth announcements, he gave the unusual details that the babe is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a place the shepherds would be very familiar with. And then the chorus of praise in the sky. And the chorus of praise in the sky, they said, glory to God in the highest. I mean, they were saying, like, this moment invokes the absolute highest praise of heaven and earth. And the meaning of this is that because of this child, there will be peace on earth. Peace between God and man. Reconciliation between God and man. The immeasurable goodness of God being expressed towards men. The time had come. Number two, allow God's Spirit to influence your schedule. Allow God's Spirit to influence your schedule. So, first of all, we're seeing God turns the ordinary to the extraordinary. But we need to allow God's Spirit to influence our schedules. What do I mean by that? What's that all about? How am I taking that away from this fresh look at Luke 2 this afternoon? Luke 2 says, pick it up in verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. Everyone say now. Let us now. When was now? Now is the middle of the night. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now you might think about the manger being like this little thing that the cows eat out of, and I'm going to show you a little video that shows it like that. But it says Mary, Joseph, and the babe were lying in a manger. And what I think this could also mean is that they're all in that stable together, bedded down, kind of cuddling baby Jesus. They found, because the manger speaks of the whole barn, not just the little trough. Anyway, that's kind of just some fun Christmas trivia for you, I guess. But it'd be more like a cave that that was converted into a barn, a shelter. So they find the babe lying. You can keep Jesus in the manger, it's fine. They find the babe lying in the manger. You're like, you're messing with my Christmas story, Pastor Caleb. I'm not. Keep your nativity scene just like it is. It's totally fine. I want to highlight out of this in verse 15 is that the angels go up into heaven, and what just happened begins to sink in, right? And in the middle of this spiritual encounter, the shepherds, we don't know how many there were, three at least probably, but maybe more, they all look at each other and together make a group decision. They said, let us go now. In this moment, not tomorrow, not next week, right now, in this moment, they were saying, guys, God's kingdom and light have broken through into the earth, into our routines, our schedules, into our ordinary evening. Something extraordinary is happening, and they make this key decision. They get up right then to go meet Jesus for themselves. And what I'm trying to say is that sometimes there's a moment, and we need to seize that moment. It's not that God can't bring another moment, because he can. But sometimes I think we start to make excuses. You know, they could have said, you know, he's been born, but I don't want to go intrude. Like, they need bonding time. Isn't that what they do these days? You know, you need like some time together. We don't want to go do that. Well, they could have been like, well, let's go in the morning. That's just better. It's more polite. They could have asked, who's going to stay with the sheep? But none of these questions even enter these guys' mind. They're just like, let's go. They could have been like, hey, was that all just a dream right there? Like, did you guys all just have the same dream? Were we like in the movie Inception right there, where we were all like sharing a dream together in each other's dreams? No, because obviously, like, that's a joke. I'm joking. Like, is he serious right now? Like, no, there were no TVs yet. You know that, right? Okay. TVs are like an invention of the last 60 years or something. I don't know. Whatever. Don't send me an email afterwards saying that's wrong. 100 years, fine, whatever. All right. I haven't studied the history of television in a while. But what I'm saying is this. They didn't stop with information. They didn't stop. They didn't sit there and say, you know what, that's really good. I'm so happy that's happening over there in Jerusalem. They got up with haste, and they went to Bethlehem. And they correctly concluded that the information God gave them was a divine invitation. That God wasn't just saying something to them, but he was inviting them into something. So the question becomes, are we willing to let God's Spirit influence our schedule? There's dates on your calendar. Some of you are very organized. You have a calendar. You have it on your smartphone. You have it on your computer. You have it in your house. You're a calendar person. There's moments, there's dates on your calendar, but I'd like to suggest to all of us that there's also dates on his calendar, moments on his calendar that he set up in advance beforehand. Now, in my computer, I subscribe to a bunch of calendars. I subscribe to Rachel's calendar. I subscribe to our church's calendar. I have my calendar. I have our home calendar. I've got, you know, when I'm coaching soccer, I've got my soccer calendar. I've got all these different calendars that are there, and they're all synced up so I don't double book on anything, and I make sure I'm creating space for things that need to happen. And what I'm trying to say this morning is that God wants us to subscribe to his calendar. Now, when you subscribe to a calendar, or you share your calendar with someone else, like I do this with Patty, our church secretary, I share my calendar with her, and she has admin editing rights. She can put stuff on my calendar. And we need to share our calendar with the Lord with admin rights so he can put appointments on our calendar, divine moments that we will respond to and say, yes, God, I'll let your spirit influence my schedule, because there's moments you have set up that I might not be aware of, but when you bring into my attention, I want to say yes. That's what these guys did. They let heaven completely reshape their agenda for that night. We need to allow God's prompting and leading to shape our plans. To shape our plans. All right. So, we're seeing that God turns the ordinary to the extraordinary, that we need to let his spirit influence our schedules. And the third highlight I want to draw out of this story is that when you experience good news, you become good news. When you experience good news, you become good news. It's just there. It's just innate. It's just alive and living in you. It says, verse 17, picking up the story, "Now when they had seen him," that's Jesus, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So, the next point here is that the good news that we experience becomes the good news that we share. We become good news. Like, we experience it, and then it becomes this living thing in my life that can't be taken away. Like, the Lord is now doing a work in me, and that work is alive, and I want to tell other people about this so they can experience it as well. The shepherds didn't stop with saying, you know, we went, we fact-checked what the angels told us. We found it. We verified it. It's good. What a night. Where were we, guys? We were counting the sheep out here somewhere. Let's get back to business. Like, I'm not saying they didn't go back as responsible shepherds. They did go back, and they were good shepherds, and they did what they were supposed to be doing. But now they didn't just go back to their responsibilities. They took every possible moment to share the heavenly news they had received. That encounter redefined their normal, okay? They became good news. They couldn't help but share it. And from that point on, it was their delight and their mission to share everything they'd heard and everything they'd experienced. And, you know, we could sum up two responses to the good news that they had. The first response is that they communicated. They made widely known the sayings about Jesus, that this is good news of great joy for all people. They're like, peace on earth. Got it. Goodwill towards men. We're in. Let's share it. Let's tell people. We're going to let them know about these sayings. We're going to communicate it. We're going to express it. We're going to share the word. And the second thing they did is they worshiped. They were glorifying and praising God. And what God has done and what he's doing now, those are the two things that it activates in our lives. It activates this fresh sense of wonder and worship and rejoicing, where you're not kind of like, blah, blah, blah. I've heard all the Christmas songs before. I don't know. Like, I'm over it. It doesn't have to be Christmas songs either. I'm just saying, like, he brings a freshness to everything. It could be the same song you've sung a million times, but there's a fresh wonder and a rejoicing and a praise because you're understanding, like, what the profound, the depth of what God has done for us. And you're like, all I can do is worship. And the other side is like, I'm so happy about this. All I can do is share it. I'm becoming good news. His light is in me and it's going to shine through me. You know, when you really hear good news, you just can't wait to let people know. Think about this for a second. Who comes to mind, like, when you have something exciting to share, you're like, oh, I got to... I mean, these days we all pull out our phones, right? We're like, oh, I got to live Facebook live this, or I've got to snap it, or I've got to do... We want to share it with everybody. But I'm talking about the big moments, the really big moments. There's probably a shorter list than just the general public following you on Twitter that comes to mind when you want to share something. It's like somebody's going to come to mind, and there's an attitude along with it. There's so... You can't wait to tell them. That is the attitude that we're to share the gospel with. That's the spirit that we carry the gospel in.